be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There's no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." All were amazed. Immediately, his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit. He was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we celebrate with joy the solemnity of the birth of St. John the Baptist. Only three times in the Church do we celebrate birthdays liturgically. Most famous, we know, is December 25th, Christmas Day. Those who come to Mass every day, like the sisters, recognize that on September 8th, we celebrate the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But we do it in a way far less solemnly than we do the first moment of her life on earth at her Immaculate Conception 9 months earlier on December 8th. Today, June 24th, we celebrate the birth of the famous son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The archangel had said to Zechariah about his son, "Many will rejoice at his birth." And today we join in that jubilation. Jesus would later say, "Among those born of woman, no one is greater than John." And the Church's liturgical calendar puts that truth into prayer. After Jesus, no one born of woman, not even the Blessed Virgin Mary, has a more solemn celebration associated with his worldly visible debut than John the Baptist. It's important for us to ask why the Church has always considered this feast so important. I think the fundamental answer is because the Church considers, first, the life of John the Baptist so important, and second, considers the events of his conception, gestation, and birth highly significant aspects of that life. John's vocation to give witness to the Lord, to go before him to prepare his way, began not when he appeared at the Jordan River dressed in camel's hair. It began when he was in the womb. Before he was conceived, the archangel Gabriel told his father, even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we saw the effect of this at the visitation, when John leaped in the womb of his mother, pointing out the presence of the prenatal Lamb of God within Mary. What God said to Jeremiah in the first reading of the Vigil Mass last night, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And to Isaiah in today's first reading, "The Lord who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him," could just as easily be said about John. He was formed in the womb and consecrated to be a prophet to the nations in order to bring God's people back to him. And he was already carrying out that consecrated mission from his earliest days within Elizabeth. These truths about a consecrated mission from the womb, however, apply not just to Jeremiah, Isaiah, and John the Baptist. The truth is that the Lord knows every one of us that intimately before he forms us in the womb. We can all exclaim with the words of today's psalm, "Truly you have formed my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb." None of us is a number, a census statistic, a random biological happening to God. Just like John the Baptist had a vocation and mission from before he was born, each of us is formed by God with a divine destiny and given a vocation and mission in this world to achieve that destiny and help others achieve their own. Well, there will be differences between your and my and the sisters' missions and John's missions. There are several characteristics in common that we can draw from St. John the Baptist's birth, life, and death. Like John's, our mission is given by God as part of God's plan from the beginning. We should never cease to lose that wonder. Second, like John, the Lord fills us with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't do it in the womb with us. He does it in the womb of the church, which is the baptismal font. But he fills us with the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish that mission. Like John, we're called to recognize who God is, that he's so great and so holy that none of us is worthy to untie his shoelaces. This recognition makes the Lord's desire to stoop down and wash our feet even more mind-blowing. Like John, we recognize that we're not the Messiah. Everybody was coming out to him at the Jordan saying, "Are you the Messiah?" He said, "No, I'm not. We're not God." And that means that we, like John, recognize that we don't call the shots. God does.
Yes.
Thank you. We don't call the shots. God does. And we not only trust in his will, but actually say and mean, "Thy will, not mine, be done." Like John, we need to make straight the paths of the Lord to rule in our life. For John, that meant going out into the desert to pray, fasting on locusts and wild honey, dressing in a way that symbolized his interior repentance and reparation. For us, it means getting away from our distractions in order to pray. It means fasting and living a penitential and reparative life and adorning ourselves, not with camel's ear, but with Christ-like love. Like John, after we've been living a converted life, we're called to summon others to conversion. John did it at the Jordan River. We're called to do it at the Hudson River and the East River and on 127th Street or at the United Nations, wherever our apostolate takes us. We have the mission to help prepare the way for Christ to come into the lives of those around us. Sometimes when we hear St. John the Baptist say, "Repent, convert, make straight the path, lower the mountains of your pride, fill up the valleys of your shallowness," we can receive it more or less as a negative criticism. But what St. John the Baptist is doing is saying, "God's given you another chance. You have a chance, a second chance and a third chance. Don't blow it. Receive God's help. He's going to help you to turn your life around for the better." We celebrate John's mission to announce that to us today. And we are called to be like John the Baptist, telling others that they've still got time to follow us in this new life. Like St. John the Baptist, we're called to decrease so that Christ might increase in the lives of others. We're called to increase each day in becoming more lowly and becoming more humble. Like John, we're called to be a friend of the bridegroom. That's the title John gave himself when his disciples complained to him that everyone was going to Jesus instead of him. He replied, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears and rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now fulfilled. He must increase, I must decrease." Jesus, the bridegroom, is the bridegroom who had come to enter into a marital covenant with us and the whole church as his bride. John considered himself the friend of the bridegroom, in today's words, best man, who would protect the bride until the time when the husband and wife could live together. He was Jesus' friend. Each of us likewise is called to be a true friend of Jesus, to introduce others to the one who in the Last Supper said to each of us, "I have called you friends because I have revealed to you everything I've heard from my Father." We're called, like John, to protect his bride, to protect the church from all those who would want to distract her heart from the bridegroom. Finally, like John, we're called to point others to the Lamb of God. John did it when he saw Jesus at the Jordan River. We're called to do it by pointing Jesus to Jesus principally here in the Eucharist, pointing to him to take away our sins when we go to confession, pointing to him calling us to follow him to a moral life, pointing to him speaking to us in the pages of sacred scripture, pointing to him in the thirsty, the hungry, the naked, the stranger, the sick, and the imprisoned, and encouraging them to respond with love, the love God deserves. No matter what our stage of life, no matter what our age, no matter our sex, each of us is called to imitate St. John the Baptist in these areas. As we read in today's Gospel, at John's birth, everybody wondered aloud, "What then will this child be?" That's the question people have at the birth of every child. It was asked at our birth by our parents and many others. All parents, in one form or another, have asked it hundreds of times about their children. Zechariah and Elizabeth would have never dreamed in their little village of Ein Kerem that here in New York, more than 2,000 years later, we would be remembering their son's birthday. They didn't even know there was a new world. To imagine, 2,000 years later, nobody knew in Skopje, when little Agnes Gonchabojashu was buried, that she would become one of the most famous people who have ever lived and touch so many lives as Saint Mother Teresa. Even with the miraculous occurrences surrounding John's conception, little could Zechariah and Elizabeth have foreseen the role he would play in salvation history. His life, his martyrdom, his being the forerunner of the Son of God in birth, in preaching, and in death. Similarly, few parents who bring their children to be baptized have any idea of God's incredible plans for their children. And God has even greater plans for children being baptized today than he did for John the Baptist. I'll say that again. He has even greater plans for children being born and baptized today. After Jesus said in the Gospel that John is the greatest born of woman, he added, "But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Each of us is consecrated by God in the womb of the church, the baptismal font, not just to be Jesus' forerunner, but God's son or daughter, and to live forever with him in his eternal kingdom. We're called not just to be the one who announces that God is coming. We're called to become the temple of that God who arrives. We may or may not become famous in this world. We may or may not have our birthday celebrated across the globe in the year 4,000 or 40,000. But God intends us all, wants us all, wants you and me to be eternally famous in the next world. That's his desired answer to the question people and parents in every generation ask about their kids. What will this child become? God wants us to work with him so that we, as their child, will become just as much a saint as Saint John the Baptist by imitating all God teaches us about how to relate to his son Jesus through his cousin's virtues. That's God's desire. That's our calling and our mission. God will give us all the help he knows we need to achieve that destiny, which also includes crosses, some of the times very heavy ones. But whether or not we achieve that destiny depends on us. Celebration of a birthday is a time for all of us to reflect on the meaning of life. In this celebration of John the Baptist's birth, brings us to reflect not just on the meaning of his life, but the meaning of our life. When Elizabeth said his name is John, and Zechariah wrote it on the tablet because he had been unable to speak for 9 months, everybody was amazed. Why would people be amazed just at the name John. It wasn't merely because nobody in his family had that name. It wasn't merely because he wasn't going to be called Zach Jr., which is what everybody had presumed. But that name, Yohannes, means God is gracious. God is gracious. God is full of grace, and he wishes to enrich us with his grace. But little did they know, even then, when they were naming him, God is gracious. And every time they would call him in Hebrew, he would recognize just how gracious God is. It would be like today if someone was named not just Bella, which means beautiful in so many languages, but you're beautiful. Imagine, hey, you're beautiful, come here, I've got food for you. Hey, you're beautiful, you forgot to shut the door. Every single time you mention that girl's name, she would recognize that she's beautiful. Every time John was called, it's God is gracious, come here. God is gracious, clean your plate. God is gracious, give me a hand. He would recognize that God is constantly seeking to bless him. But as beautiful as that was, God wasn't just getting started. Because his name, God is gracious, John, was meant to have a prefix, saint. Likewise, little did our parents realize when they brought us to be baptized that God's plan for us is to have that same prefix that goes for every child born and brought to the font. We're all supposed to be saints. But to be given that honor and induction into the eternal hall of fame, we must live up to that title, which means holy. We become holy on the day of our baptism and are called to live in that holiness in each of our choices by living in constant communion with God and his will and his love. All of us have known young people as we were growing up who were extraordinarily gifted academically or athletically or as singers. Some invested those gifts and developed them, but others we know wasted those talents, and they amounted to very little. Same thing happens with the spiritual talents and gifts God gives us. Some of us really develop them, some of us waste them. Even though John was filled with the Holy Spirit from before he was born, he still lived a life of great self-denial so that he would never deny God. He responded to his mission with fidelity and allows God's work to continue in him. And that's what God wants us to do too. What we become in response to our divine destiny is dependent on two things. God's grace, and he's gracious, and he will never stop giving. But our receptivity and our response, our choices, on whether we really develop or waste the tremendous gifts and calling God gives each of us. Today's celebration is meant to remind us that each of us is capable of the fidelity and courage we see in St. John the Baptist. If only we say yes, yes, yes to God's graces as he did. We conclude by turning back one last time to St. John the Baptist on his birthday. Normally, you know, on birthdays, we give the one celebrating the birthday a gift. But today, John the Baptist gives us a present, the gift of his intercession for us, that we may be faithful to the mission God has given each of us from the womb, remain in holy communion with God, and collaborate with him to bring or help others maintain their communion with God. Just like he did 2,000 years ago, he indicates to us the path to holiness by pointing to Jesus in the Eucharist, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. As we prepare to welcome Jesus into this chapel or into our own personal temple, we thank him for the gift of our life and the gift of those we know and love. We thank him for the gift of the priesthood, which makes Jesus present. We thank him for the gift of each other, for our mutual friendship in the Lord. We thank him for the gift of the missionaries of charity, and how he helps through them to make the world come alive in love. And we ask him for his help so that we, like John, might develop our friendship with him so that he may increase within us and bring us and others to the eternal destiny for which we, like John, were born. St. John the Baptist, pray for us.